Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And we know where Penn State is headed for bowl season. Citrus Bowl against Kentucky. We found that out on Sunday. So we'll break that matchup down just a little bit. We have to spread that out across a couple weeks here. We'll look around at the college football playoff matchups, the debate and the discussion centered around that, because there always is, but there was this season with teams like Georgia and Ohio State on the outside looking in. And along the lines of the bowl game, we're going to look at just the Penn State's true freshman this season. We won't get into the red shirts yet. And it's relevant for bowl season because you know the guys who still have games left before their red shirt is burnt. I'm curious to see how that plays out in the bowl game, how James Franklin manages that. We'll round out the show with a Penn State basketball conversation with Jeff Brown. Penn State basketball beat Virginia Tech at home, played tough against Maryland on the road. It's an interesting team, a young team. So we'll catch up with Jeff on all things Penn State Hoos. But first, Greg, we know the matchup. Number 12, Penn State in the final college football playoff rankings. Number 14, Kentucky. Not a New Year's Six bowl, but it's a Florida bowl on New Year's Day, and I think a lot of people will take that.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think there's some folks out there that might be a little bit disappointed with the opponent. And it's not necessarily a Kentucky thing. It's more the fact that, you know, Penn State, I think, you know, they could have played maybe a Florida, maybe an LSU.
A more traditional
right, and power, Kentucky, yeah. Obviously, while being number 14 in the country, three top 25 wins over teams ranked in the final one that was released just past Sunday. So, I mean, they're a good team. They desperately want to win 10 games this year. Penn State, obviously, desperately wants to win 10 games this year. So, it should be a spirited matchup. I don't see a reason on either side for a lack of motivation. So, it has provided an interesting challenge for Penn State, too, because Kentucky has a few very, very good players that can hurt you if you're not careful.
What was the opening point spread, and what do you expect to happen with that over the next few weeks?
Yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic with the bowl games because there's a lot of time for the money to change.
Yeah, it was 7 o'clock. It was 7. Yeah, 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7. It won't change by 7 o'clock, I promise. It was 7, Penn State's touchdown favorite.
Wow.
Over-under was 44, which is pretty low for Penn State. There were very few, if any, totals for Penn State in the 40s this year, so that was interesting. But I could see, I don't think that 7 changes much. Now, if somebody would come out from either side and say they weren't going to play due to injury or NFL
Mark Stoops
draft.
Talked about that a little bit on Sunday, saying he had no reason to believe any of his guys wouldn't. And you look at two in particular, Benny Snell and Josh Allen.
Right.
So at this point, you expect everybody to play, but who knows?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I would assume that those guys are all going to be set to go, but at the end of the day, you just never know. You never know if a guy tweaks something minor in practice and all of a sudden he can't play. Things like the weird things pop up. So we'll see. But as long as no one, decides not to play or anything like that, I would suspect at this point that, you know, you're looking at a line that stays at 7. I don't see it moving that much. I could see the total move up a little bit as kickoff nears, but that's probably about it.
Well, what are your early thoughts on the matchup itself? And we'll have, including this week, we'll break it down a little bit closer. But it's an interesting one. 7 points, you know, it seems like a lot when you're talking about a number 12 versus a number 14. But at the same time, Kentucky falls into a similar pattern, especially offensively, a team that can be one-dimensional, and Penn State has fared pretty well. They just don't throw it very well, and Penn State's got plenty of experience, as we've discussed multiple times, the number of quarterbacks that Penn State has played that they didn't have to pay too much respect to. This is another one.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, and I think that the other thing you forget about often with games like these, even though it's obvious, is that Penn State, just like Kentucky, is going to have 3 weeks now to figure out every little intricacy and flaw of the offense and defense of the Wildcats run and vice versa. So you got plenty of things that you can do to stop not just their specific personnel, but then you have plenty of time to get into the sub packages and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, both sides will be dreaming up some new things to throw out there. There's no question about that. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, Penn State definitely has an advantage on paper in this game. I think they have a few more playmakers, but there's no question that Kentucky has a couple of guys that can hurt you if you don't know where they're at, if you can't keep track of them, or if you simply just get out of your, you know, your gaps, your assignments, and your responsibilities.
What do you think about, as James Franklin does the Citrus Bowl press call, he really took the opportunity as a platform to talk about where the Big Ten stands. This is 3 years in a row where the Big Ten champion did not get into the college football playoff. And so I don't think he pitched anything in particular, although if you read between the lines a little bit, you can kind of get what he's going for. But I think he's right in that the Big Ten needs to have a conversation about how they're operating. And there's a couple of differences. One is the 9-game conference schedule. Is that something that they need to reassess? And two, the Big Ten East, we know obviously that it's a stacked division. I think it probably runs the deepest in consistent national contenders of any division, I think, in college football. And we've talked for a while about the deficiencies of the Big Ten West, the inconsistencies of the Big Ten West. There does maybe need to be a follow-up conversation about how the teams are organized in the Big Ten. I don't know if it's something Jim Delaney will go for, but this has to be a stinging feeling that everybody should try to get that momentum going in the right direction.
Right. No doubt about it. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I mean, you can go round and round and round in this conversation. James Franklin, I do agree with the fact that he said something to the effect of, you know, the Big Ten, he might as well have. Basically, the Big Ten powers are the powers, and they have been for a long time. And the fact you have them all on one side of the conference for the most part is obviously not beneficial to any of those teams. So it's true. I mean, he was getting into the 8-game conference or the 9-game conference schedule and the 1AA FCS schools that the SEC plays. And I understand where he's coming from, no question about it. And I do think it's interesting that, you know, when this thing start, 2014, it was simply, you know, you have two losses and you're out. And then, you know, we had legitimate discussions about whether Georgia would get in on Sunday morning, even though they had the magic two losses. So I don't know. I do agree to an extent with what he was going for. But ultimately, you know, the Big Ten is just, and seemingly year in and year out, it finds a way to, and certainly over the last three, it finds a way to position itself poorly. And at the end of the day, if you don't go undefeated, then you're leaving it in the hands of the committee. That's really what it comes down to. I know that's not completely the case, because obviously Oklahoma was able to get in with a loss, but you know what? The committee fell on their side of the table and not Ohio State's. And in other years, maybe that'll change. So I don't know. I don't think you'll see wholesale changes from the Big Ten. That's not really the way they operate. And they basically set it up this way. I mean, think about it. We have, you know, a power five. They created a power five when they went to this college football playoff, and they, by choosing just four playoff teams, they immediately said somebody was going to get left out. So, you know, the Pac-12, you know, gets left out in this instance too, but, I don't know. I don't expect wholesale changes, even though some of the points you brought up are certainly valid.
It's part of a much bigger playoff picture and conversation that's going on. It's been going on for a while about expansion and that kind of thing. In this case, you know, Ohio State wins the league. It wasn't the fact that the East was too brutal. It was the fact that they were walking the tightrope all year, and they lost 49-20 to Purdue.
Right.
If that loss is to a more respectable team, or if it's not 49-20, the fact is the Big Ten's conference champion this year was as flawed as ever. And I don't think there's any amount of configuration that can change that dynamic. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and GoPSURV.com. You might have missed the boat for the 2018 football season, but keep GoPSURV.com in the front of your mind as we get into the spring, and certainly for next season. So much cool stuff, food and drink, a giant tailgating lot for an entire weekend is what it boils down to, the projection TV. I got to experience it firsthand a couple weeks ago. It's pretty awesome. GoPSURV.com. Take a look when you get a chance, and keep it in mind for 2019 as well. Coaches, Greg, it's a busy time for them. It's not, you know, they're trying to mix practice and staying sharp,
yep,
and keeping the guys in the weight room and all that kind of stuff with their own recruiting needs, because that first early signing window is coming up fast. So it was a busy week, and James Franklin, I think he did this call, he was in New Jersey. There was a schedule for his day on right. Sunday, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, there was. I mean, 7 a.m., he had a staff meeting. 9 a.m., they had a team meeting. Then they had practice. Then he walked off the field to say goodbye to Nolan Smith, the five-star defensive end from Savannah, Georgia, who was on campus, said it was the best weekend of his life at Penn State. I wish I had followed his recruitment a little bit more closely to know whether he's the kind of guy that sort of explodes. Because you know how that goes sometimes. Sometimes you have guys explode after, you know, every visit is the best one of their life and the greatest thing ever and all that. I'm not sure if he's that kind of guy or not, but at any rate, he then jumped on a plane, went and visited Taquan Roberson down in New Jersey. He was then in Connecticut seeing Tyler Rudolph, the four-star safety commit, I would imagine, while he was there. He saw Marquise Wilson. So he also fit, obviously, learn about the bowl, and he did some media calls at that point as well. So, yeah, that was just Sunday. And Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday are pretty much jam-packed the same way. So it is hardly a time of relaxation, even though, you know, we're out of season at this point.
Nolan Smith, it's interesting to hear him, you know, he called Franklin a true player's coach. Said it was the best weekend of his life. He's committed to Georgia. He's taking all of his visits. He really seems to be doing his due diligence. And you kind of don't expect those words to translate into traction necessarily, just because it seems, you know, Penn State's against the odds on this one. But it's still encouraging nonetheless that Penn State can put on this show for the number one recruit in the country, that the vibe that their locker room puts out. You know, we talk to kids a lot on this show who talk about, you know, can they picture themselves playing there? Can they picture themselves being happy living a day-to-day life there? That's the kind of stuff that, you know, you don't think about enough sometimes in recruiting. You're always thinking about, okay, well, the program's in this condition, whatever, they're winning 10 games. But but really, like, you have to think about life as a kid there. And it seemed like he vibed with the kids on the team and everything. So it's encouraging. You don't expect it to translate into much, though. We will watch it over the next couple of weeks. Brian Bressy put out a top six. He's the number one player in the 2020 class. Penn State still, you know, I would say maybe a co-favorite with Ohio State for him. He's an important guy considering needs on the defensive line plus his overall talent. Jared Harrison Hunt is another guy. He released his top eight on Sunday, a weird combination of schools. Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Rutgers, Arizona State, Miami, Tennessee, and Texas A&M kind of spans everything. Penn State's a favorite in his crystal ball. He's an important guy to note because they don't have a defensive tackle commit yet.
That's right. And the fact that his recruitment has sort of looked over, then opened back up. Now it has these weird collection of eight teams in it. I don't know what to think at this point. I would say, Dustin, that Penn State's still in the driver's seat, but it doesn't look as easy as maybe it once did.
We will talk all about recruiting for the next couple of weeks here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. For now, we're going to move on, look at the college football playoff, look at the bowls to watch moving forward, and how those teams got there. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.